Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. We've been talking about it throughout the course of the show. Tri playing Toronto tonight. Game two of that three-game series. They'll finish it up north of the border tomorrow. Tri fell on the wrong end of a 4-2 decision yesterday. Battled back. They were down early. They were able to cut that deficit in half after Francisco Lindor knocked in a couple of runs, or I guess technically he knocked in one run, and then he bought enough time for that second run to come in on that interesting play. And before that, it looked like they were going to get two other runs and a ball that was smoked off the bat of Jose Ramirez, but Kevin Pillar made a terrific catch on that ball that was drilled into deep center field. That really was the play of the game, one of the finest catches that you're going to see all throughout the season. Time for some more Cleveland Indians talk. Here to talk more Tribe with us, he is the Tribe beat reporter for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, Chris Ossenheimer, joining us on the show. Chris, how are you?
Good. How are you?
So far, so good. Hoping for another Tribe win tonight. We were going through some numbers earlier, taking a look at just how good this bullpen has been, especially going all the way back to April 20th. I mean, Chris, these numbers are just insane. I mean, these numbers are just out of control good. They're worth bringing up again. I mean, and I understand it's only a three-week stretch, but this is just unheard of. You know, with an ERA of 0.20 going back to April 20th, it's far and away the strength of this team.
Oh, without a doubt. And you're right, those numbers are amazing. And, I mean, you knew they were going to have a top-shelf bullpen coming into the season. I guess the only bad thing about that is they've had to use them an awful lot, and we're just in the first month of the season, you know, a little past the first month of the season. And, you know, you saw maybe last year a little bit as they relied on those guys down the stretch that maybe they ran out of gas, you know. But Andrew Miller, for instance, in the World Series, you know, I think that he reached his empty tank. It's probably one of the worst possible moments, not to take away from the unbelievable things that he did. I mean, obviously he was dominant, but I just, you know, it's not an ideal thing to overuse your bullpen through the first month and a half of the season. But if it's going to be overused, these are the numbers you hope to see, definitely.
Taking a look at a guy that certainly has played a little bit better of late, but he's going to be under at least a little bit of scrutiny for a while until those numbers decide to take a little bit more of a jump, would be Edwin Encarnacion. Now, of course, he's hitting a little bit better, but I think the key here is he's not necessarily coming through in clutch situations. When you watch him game by game, what is it that you're seeing from him, and why is it you think that maybe he's not coming through in those big money situations with runners in scoring position?
Well, I think, you know, a guy that goes to a new team, a big contract, and, you know, it's his first year, gets off to a bad start, you tend to press. I mean, it's human nature with anybody here. You know the fans are expecting to see you come and do big things, and it's not easy. You know, baseball obviously is a difficult game, and, you know, batting 300 is considered, no, that's really good. So I just think a lot of it is just him pressing and just wanting to make an impression. I know he's a veteran. He should be past those things. But, you know, this is a new team, and they're a good team. And so I guess the silver lining to all of it is that guys like him and Kipnis and some of these things they've had to overcome, I mean, they're still in first place by a game. So that just shows you how good this team is and could be when everybody's healthy.
We're talking with Chris Ossenheimer of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram here on Bullseye on the afternoon. And it really kind of seems, Chris, like people are really beginning to run out of patience with Trevor Bauer. Now, certainly he didn't have his best game yesterday, but I thought it was a decent display of damage control. It could have been a heck of a lot worse. He ended up getting out of there, throwing a career high, just over 120 pitches on the day. But, I mean, six innings, four runs, certainly not the worst performance. When you look at him, you know, I'm not so sure that this year is any different than the others we've experienced with Trevor Bauer in that you just don't know what you're going to get from him. He's just so inconsistent.
No, that's a good point. I mean, you're right. But, I mean, this year he's kind of been consistently bad. I mean, his ERA is over seven. And he's, and he, and I, it's just, I think that the fans media, I think it gets tiresome. You know, you're talking about a guy who's had some, I mean, you know, public battles with both of his teams that he's been with. I mean, Arizona gave up on him, and you just wonder. Trevor, he's displayed talent certainly, but you know, you just wonder when he can put this together and you know, I think if I can offer up the opinion, I think he should, you know, take a look at himself in the mirror. I mean, he hasn't reached that point right now. As far as he's concerned, if you listen to some of his comments after some of the starts, he's pitching real well. He's executing his game plan. He's locating his pitches. I can see that to a point, but not when you're giving up, you know, 7 runs per 9 innings. He's still walking too many guys, and that kills you. And, you know, last night, for instance, you're right. Overall, you look at that line, and you're like, okay, that's not too bad from your number 4, your number 5 starter. The problem was he gave up 4 runs within the first 3 innings. And, you know, that takes a little steam out of a team, guys who were going up to the plate, knowing, okay, we're down 4-0, we have to do something, as opposed to just going up and having your regular at-bat. So I just think that it's the attitude and the inconsistency, and really when you have a guy like Mike Clevinger, who I freely admit has not proven anything in the big league level so far. He had one nice start last time out. But, I mean, why not give that guy a shot? And you can't send Bauer down because he's out of options, I believe. But, you know, at least put him in the bullpen. I mean, maybe send him a message like, hey, this isn't going to be tolerated anymore, and, you know, you need to perform.
Talking about sorry, Chris, go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's my take. That's my rant on Bauer.
Gotcha. No, I was just thinking about last night's game. I was impressed with that at-bat by Francisco Lindor that drove in the 2 runs. I wanted to get your take on it. You've seen a lot more baseball, I think, in your day than I have myself. But I thought that was a brilliant heads-up play. He draws the interference. He gets to second base. A couple of runs come in to score. Was that just a baseball play extending it? I know guys do that, but it seemed like he had the wherewithal to force that throw to draw the interference and everything else along with it.
No, you're right. It probably is a baseball play, but very few guys do that, and even fewer do it at his age. I mean, that's something you see like a Derek Jeter or someone like that do in his prime. But, I mean, this guy just continues to play above his age, and he's already, I mean, we're talking about a guy who last year was his first full season in the majors, and he already reached, you know, elite level as far as an all-star and being one of the best in the majors at his position. And that's the scary thing. It's he's still young. I mean, to see this guy actually be able to get better, I don't know. The ceiling has to top out somewhere, but you haven't seen it yet, and he's so young. It's amazing. But players like that, that's part of what make him an amazing player, is the mental side of the game and, you know, just the X's and O's and knowing the situation and what he might be able to pull off at such a young age.
We're talking with Chris Ossenheimer, Tribe beat reporter for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Injuries seem to be biting just about every single team in the majors this year, the Indians no exception. Chris, what can you tell us about the 2 big injuries for the Tribe right now? Michael Brantley out of the lineup again today, second game in a row. We don't see him in the starting 9. And, of course, Corey Kluber as well, who just about a week ago went on the disabled list with a stiffness in his back. What are you hearing about those guys, and when maybe we see those guys again?
Well, it sounds like Brantley's probably not going to play the rest of the Toronto series, and then they get the off day, and I'm guessing he's going to probably be back in there for the series opener at Progressive Field. But Kluber, I don't think that's a serious thing either. I just think they're going to take, you know, that comes into play with Bauer too. I mean, they're not going to rush Corey Kluber back. But it doesn't sound like it's a serious thing. And as long as Bauer continues, and again, the last night wasn't terrible. But, you know, you can't have a guy going out there and giving you a loss and putting you behind the eight ball like that and just running a guy out there on an everyday basis or every 5 days. So, but as far as Kluber, I just think that you'll probably see maybe a week. And I think he'll be back shortly after his DL stint is up.
when you look at the guys who have been brought up from AAA Columbus to take the spots for those guys, you know, Yandy Diaz, of course, was recalled a couple days ago. He's been in left field the last couple of games. When Brantley comes back, they don't have to make a roster move, but when he gets back in there, what do they do with Diaz? Do they send him back down? Because it really kind of seems like when he was in AAA, he was seeing the ball, hitting the ball a heck of a lot better than he was in his first stint with the Tribe at the beginning of the year. What do they do with Diaz if your prediction comes to fruition on Friday and they put Brantley back into the lineup in game one of their upcoming home series at Progressive Field starting on Friday against the Twins?
Well, I do think that they're going to continue to be to not rush Yandy. I know what you're saying. It doesn't look like he has anything else to prove the AAA level, but they want him to continue to play on an everyday basis. So maybe his value would be much more down the road. But you never know. I mean, you still have the Michael Martinez situation, and I don't think that's going to change. But you know, if you also have a guy like Yandy Diaz who can also play outfield and infield, not the same way that Michael Martinez can, but then do you decide, okay, that's a good enough utility guy if he produces? But Michael Martinez doesn't play a whole lot, so I don't know. I don't see them doing anything with Abel Monte. Maybe he goes when they have to make a move or they have to find a spot for Yandy. And maybe he goes into that platoon role with Chisenhall, something like that. I don't know how much right field Yandy Diaz has played, but they've experienced with him, I believe, and like you said, he's playing left now. But I think that he was in left in the minors, but there's no reason he shouldn't be able to play right field as well. So maybe that's what happens. Maybe Almonte's the odd man out. I'm not sure what they're going to do with that, but they certainly will have a decision when Brantley's back to full health. You're right.
I know Diaz has only been back up for a day, but have you heard anything from the manager, from Francona, from anyone about his performance in left field? Are they happy with it?
All I know from that perspective is that when he was doing it in the outfield last year, they seemed to be all right with that. That he was able to handle himself, and he seemed to handle himself at third base. So I don't think he's a guy that is versatile and say Jose Ramirez or a Michael Martinez, but I think that he's the guy that they're comfortable with playing in left field and at third base, especially with the way he hit.
Again, we're talking with Chris Ostenheimer, Tribe beat reporter at the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Chris, we'll cut you loose on this. You know, I think at least for now, and maybe for another week or so, we can still say, maybe he's still in spring training mode. But obviously, when you look at the numbers for Jason Kipnis, we're still kind of waiting for something to pop. He did have a big hit over the weekend and one of the Indians' victories over the Kansas City Royals. But again, with Kipnis, you're kind of waiting for him to turn that corner. At what point should we really start to worry if those numbers don't get better?
Well, I think that Jason Kipnis has a track record that's proven. And he's always been a streaky hitter. And I don't think he's going to be that 300 guy ever in his career, like a consistent 300 hitter. But I think that he's going to be fine. He didn't start the season in the best fashion with the shoulder injury and things like that. But certainly if the shoulder is a problem and plagues him, then yeah, you definitely need to worry. But there hasn't been any talk about that since he's been back. It's just been that he hasn't produced. And, there's a lot of guys who haven't produced out of the gate. So, and a lot of them have track records, and I think Kipnis will be just fine. I don't think he's going to be hitting 300 on a regular basis, but I certainly think that he'll put his numbers up that he has in the past, and you'll look up at the end of the season and see similar to what he did last year.
Chris, we appreciate the time as always, and we look forward to doing it again soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All righty, that is Chris Ostenheimer, Tribe beat reporter at the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, giving us his thoughts on the Tribe. Again, they are in action tonight. Pre-game show begins in about 10 minutes. First pitch coming your way right around 7:10. You can hear it here on AM 930 WEOL.